My name is Conrad Romo. I'm a Los Angelian, and I'm the host of a reading series in Los Angeles called Tongue and Groove. Come and check us out sometime. This piece is called Cement God. We're in the middle of a heat wave. Every window in our house is wide open to coax any kind of merciful breeze that might happen to crawl by. As soon as I open my eyes, I brace myself, remembering yesterday's scorcher and the day before that and the day before that. The temperature is getting over 100, and you just know it's going to be another hot one. But this early morning, it's almost cool and amazingly quiet. No sounds of snoring, no sounds from the radio or TV, no horns honking or tires screeching or people yelling, no birds squawking or dogs barking or cats fighting or babies crying or noise from the train yards or factories at the end of the street. Nothing except for the hum of the refrigerator. I know it won't last, though, this quiet and this light, cool air of the morning, but I just want to hold on to it and make it stretch. It's like some kind of truce or some sort of settlement has been reached in our house and on our block and in our neighborhood, but I know it can't last. Maybe someone else, one of my brothers or sisters or my mom or dad is awake too, like me, just lying still in their beds. They might even be pretending to sleep. We do a lot of pretending, my family does. We pretend to know things we don't and to not know things we do. We pretend what matters doesn't and that we don't care about things we honestly do. We pretend things that aren't funny are and that we get the joke when we don't. We pretend to have a plan and that we know our lines. So who knows if it's real or pretend sleep that has them all still and quiet. But I seize this moment to dress in a hurry and sneak outside. I stand barefoot and stretch at the bottom of our back porch steps by the banana tree that shades the imprints of feet in the cement. I put a foot in the impression of my big cousin Jaime, trying to imagine him when he was my age and our feet were the same size. Alongside his footprints are those of his big sister Linda and the hand and footprints of my older sister Letty and cousins Renee and Juno, and a date scratched in the cement from the time before I was born. I stretch and look at the cloudless sky and walk down the driveway towards my grandparents' house. The cement is still cool, but in a few hours I'll need chanclas or something to keep my feet from frying. My granddad owns this property, the front and the back houses, plus another down the street where my Uncle Pete and his family live. My granddad built the back house where I live. Friends and family helped with the carpentry, plumbing, and electrical, but the cement work, that was all his. The foundation, the porches and stairs, the long driveway, and the wide yard between the houses were all done by his hand. In fact, he did most of the cement work that could be done on our block. He was best as a finisher, the guy responsible for smoothing and leveling the pour. When he was done, there'd be just enough of a grade that water wouldn't even pool. He was never without work, not even during the Depression in the 30s. But I didn't know any of that then as I walked from the back to the front house. It was long before I was alive, so how could I have known? I didn't know then how he came to have a limp and needed a cane to walk. Years later, I learned that he was cleaning the walls and blades inside a big commercial cement mixer when someone accidentally hit a switch, starting the blade spinning in opposite directions. He was badly cut before his cries were heard and the machine shut down. I didn't know any of this then as I worked my way to the front house, having nothing particular in mind. I didn't know much of anything then, wondered years later if anyone would remember seeing a boy walking with an old man in his dirty chinos and beat-up hat, one hand on the boy's shoulder and the other on a cane, moving slowly, inch by inch, along the sidewalk he had poured and made smooth. Would anyone remember them walking to Pierre's liquor store to get the old man a couple bottles of Muscatel, past the walls made of river rock and across Cypress Avenue where people in their cars honked impatiently as the two slowly crossed? The boy glared back at them, a dare to keep on honking. In years to come, they'd never remember the kid and the old man, the old borracho. Why give them a second thought? That summer, though, that summer morning, I found Granddad sitting on a rocker smoking a freshly rolled cigarette from his can of Prince Albert tobacco. Hola, Panzon, he said. his nickname for me because I'm kind of fat.
Hola, hola,
I said, and sat with my back to him on the green-painted cement steps of his front porch and pointed my face towards the sun, looking at the veins through my closed eyelids at a blood-red world as the rays caressed my face. There's some things you're not supposed to look at directly. Then again, you just can't rely on your eyes to tell you everything. That morning, in the company of my granddad, in no rush to see the summer unfold, there was a sweet richness between the two of us. There we were with the up and down of the heavens and the earth, or in this case, the holy cement beneath my feet. Some kids may have posed the basic question of their grandfather, Granddad, why is the sky blue and the sun yellow? Where do clouds and babies come from? What was I before I was born? But not me. Not when the mystery was right there beneath my feet. So I asked, Granddad, who made the sidewalks? And he answered right back at me, matter of fact, without pause, I did. A few seconds, or it could have been minutes, I didn't breathe. I just sat still looking straight ahead and let the moment stretch. That's when I knew my granddad was God. I don't remember either one of us saying anything after that, really. What was there to say? I mean, just a moment before, he was only my granddad, a mere mortal, an old borracho, and now he is so much more. For Words in a Wire, I'm Conrad Romo.